Mesechtes Bava Basra, Daf Zayin, 14 lines from the bottom of Daf Bava and Beis. And on Daf Beis, we saw a Shaila, if between two Chatzeres, if Hezekriah Shmei Hezek or Hezekriah Lav Shmei Hezek. And on the side that Hezekriah Lav Shmei Hezek, the Gemara brought a simon of Gina Kreisel, Kaifin, Vicholk, and Chalenis, and Rab Nachman. And the sixth question on the side that Hezekriah Lav Shmei Hezek was from the following memra, as Rab Nachman, Omer Shmuel, Rab Nachman said, name of Shmuel, the Gaga Samach Lechatzach Averiah, if there's a rooftop that is on the same plane as the chutzah of his friend, so Oislin Michael Gavoyah Dal Amis, then the owner of the gag has to make a wall that is 4 amis high in order to make sure that he doesn't cause Hezekriah to the owner of the chutzah. And the Gemara wanted to bring a raya that we see Hezekriah Shmei Hezek. And the Gemara on that Beis and Beis answered Shani Hassan, the Omele Bala Chutzah Lebala Gag, Ludidi Kfili Tashmishtei, Luditcha Lekfili Chotashmishtcha. Since we're not talking about a chutzah to a chutzah, instead we're talking about a chutzah and a gag, so the Bala Chutzah says to the Bala Gag that it's normal for someone to use their chutzah, but it's not as normal for someone to use their gag. And I don't know when you're going to come onto your rooftop in order that I should be careful not to do any private tashmishdan at a time that you may come onto your rooftop. Therefore, the Bala Gag is considered a mazik, and that's why the Bala Gag has to build a 4-amah kaisel. However, Rav Nachman says the name of Shmuel, I've been gagla gagloi, but there is no requirement to build any kaisel between two rooftops, even though the rooftops are right next to each other and there is no gap between the rooftops, and certainly the mitzvah of Asisa Michael Gagecha doesn't apply, but there is also no requirement to build a kaisel of Arba Amais because the din of Hezekriah doesn't apply between rooftops, unless, as we saw from Abaya at the beginning of the Amid, that Shnei Batim B'Shnei Tzidim B'Shis Rabim Zeh Oys Michael Chatzi Gaga V'Zeh Oys Michael Chatzi Gaga Zeh Shlei Kenegin Zeh Ma'adif, as over there you have Rishis Rabim or you have Rishis Yachin between the two Gagas, and therefore, the din of Hezekriah would apply. However, Rav Nachman continues that although I agree with Shmuel ben Gehi's first din, however, this that Shmuel stated being gagal gagloi, Rav Nachman Yideyam, Rav Nachman himself says, ein zokel gadam amis. While it's true that you don't have to build a 4-amah tall wall, as there is no problem of Hezekriah, however, av zokel mechitza zasara, but there is a requirement for both of the owners of these gagos to build a mechitza of 10 tefachim high. And the Gemara asks, lemai, why do you need that mechitza? As ila Hezekriah, as if it's required for Hezekriah, then you should require a 4-amah high wall, and if it's because if you don't have any demarcation, then each neighbor may go into the other person's rishus, and they'll claim that they didn't realize that they were in the other person's rishus, and therefore you make some sort of a demarcation in order to show where the boundary is, and if someone goes into the other rishus, then the other party could say that it must be that you're coming into my rishus in order to steal from me. But the Gemara states, then you would only have to put small and low pegs into the ground, and this way you'll be able to make a borderline, and if the reason is because you want to be nitvah salav kaganav, then that would be enough, and that would suffice, and if it's because you want to make sure that young goats and young sheep don't wander from one side of the roof to the other side of the rooftop, then there shouldn't be a requirement to put up a full wall, as even if you have mechitzais that are each less than 3 tefachim apart from each other, that should suffice, as in this way an animal cannot go between them and won't be able to go from one rishus to the other. In Rashi, Masech the Sukkah on Daf Yudal and Beis states, Yizdaka v'bas roish, behed yu v'rebech, they'll be able to go in very comfortably and very easily. And the Gemara continues and states, L'ilom l'utufas lov kaganev, that the reason why Rabbi Nachman says that you're required to make a mechitza asara is in order to protect yourself, to make sure that your neighbor doesn't come into your rishus, and you'll be able to say that it must be that you're ganev by the fact that you're coming into my rishus. And even though the Gemara previously is, but mesipas ba'al masagya, however, the Gemara explains that if you only make a low wall made of pegs, then one party may go into the other party's rishus and he'll be able to have an excuse. And as Rashi said, I'll say that it was a chayfetz that fell from my hands into your rooftop, and I went into your rishus in order to pick up my chayfetz, and I wasn't going to steal something. However, once you have a mechitza that's 10 tefachim high, that even though it's still true that it is possible that Reuven's chayfetz will fall into Shimon's gag and will fall over the mechitza that's 10 tefachim high. However, by the fact that they had a mechitza that's 10 tefachim high, therefore he understands that his neighbor is makbid, that he shouldn't come into his gag without prior permission. And if Reuven goes and trespasses into Shimon's gag, then it would be nitvah salav kaganav, and Shimon could claim that Reuven is coming into his rishus in order to steal. Gemara continues and asks a question on Rav Nachman Shita, as Meisvei we learned in a brisa, if Reuven had a chatzah which was higher than Shimon's rooftop, and for example, Reuven's chatzah began 5 tefachim higher than Shimon's rooftop, then the din is that since from the chatzah to the gag there is no hezekriya, Rashi says the gag lo kviyat tashmishtei noyach lizor mishchenev shleiru, and therefore the owner of the rooftop could make sure that he doesn't do anything private when he's going to be seen by the bala chatzah, and therefore there is no hezekriya from the bala chatzah to the bala gag, and therefore the bala chatzah is not required to contribute anything to any wall between the chatzar and the gag. And as the Gemara states, my lav ain iskakon loy klal, that when the Brisa states ain iskakon loy, it means that Reuven doesn't have to contribute at all. And if we just stated that between two gagas where there is no problem of hezekriya, the Reb Nachman says that you still have to shear and you have to build a wall that's 10 tefachim high, so l'chayr Reuven should still have a responsibility to at least chip in for the wall that's going to be up to 10 tefachim high. And the example we gave, since the chatzar is 5 tefachim higher than the gag, then the Baal Chatzah should have to contribute for 2.5 tefachim of the wall, and then the Baal Gag would have to build up this kaisel up to 4 amos. And the Gemara answers Loi that in chinami, that's not what the Brisa means, and in iskakon l'dal amos, and the Brisa actually means that Reuven is not required to contribute for any amount up to 4 amos of the iskakon l'mechitzas asara, but certainly Reuven is required to contribute up to 10 tefachim, as we explained. And the Gemara continues, itma we learn shtei chatzeris zulim ma'alim zu, if you have two chatzeris, one above the other. And the Ritvor explains that we're talking about a case where there is hezekriya pirish for chol achas mazekas l'chavarasa kagoyin shehoysel yoyin l'matim midal amis, as the upper chatzah is within 4 amis of the lower chatzah inami l'mayim midalid, or in a case where it's even above 4 amis u'chagoyin shechatziris u'chavais, and we're dealing with a case where the chatziris are very wide, the kol hecha d'chikoyim chazilei, and any place where you're going to stand you're going to be able to see into his chatzah, and therefore have a hezek. And the Gemara brings machlekes on Rav Huna states tachtim b'inim mechenegdeva ilah, that the owner of the lower chatzah has to build from the floor of his chatzah up until the point of the floor of the upper chatzah, the onion b'inim mechenegdeva ilah, and then the owner of the upper floor has to share in all the rest of the expenses from the floor of his chatzah up until 4 amos. And as Rashi states, v'lehi elyon nifsa b'shiflis kakiyusis shel tachtoin, and the owner of the upper chatzah is not going to have to take a loss based on the fact that the lower chatzah is lower than his chatzah. However, b'chista amar elyon meseir milmato b'inor, Rav Chista says the owner of the upper chatzah has to contribute and has to split the cost with the owner of the lower chatzah from the point of the lower chatzah and upwards, and they share in the entire expense of the wall evenly. The Rishonim discussed that l'chayr, the din of Rav Chista seems to be more pashut than the din of Rav Huna, as l'chayr, the only way that you could build the upper wall is only by having a foundation and only by having the lower wall, and therefore certainly they should split the cost of the entire wall. I am Rishonim. The Gemara actually states Tani Kavos Rav Chista, that we have a Brisa like the sheet of Rav Chista, Shtei Chatzir Zulu Ma'alim Zu Lo Yoyme Elyon Areini Bainu Mechenegdiv Oila. So the owner of the upper chatzah can't say that I will only start building the wall from my Rishus and upwards, El Meseyim Milmato Bainu, but he has a responsibility to contribute even from the lower portion of the lower chatzah. And of course, this is exactly as Rav Chista stated. And the Brisa continues, Vim Haisa Chatzir L'Ma'alim Megagashel Chaveroi, and if Reuven's chatzah was at a point that was higher than the Gag of Shimon, then in the Zakagloi, then Reuven doesn't have to contribute for the cost of a wall. As the Gemara explained previously, according to Rav Nachman, ein iskakon l'dalad amis, av niskakon l'mechitzas asara. And before we continue, let's point out Taisa Dibel Maskel Shtei Chatzeris Zulu Ma'alim Zu, and Taisa Es Vim Taima V'tachton L'miseir L'Elyon L'mechimotil Abba Amis L'yuchal Tachton L'Riz B'chatzal Elyon Yibna Elyon. Now, L'chir, why is it that we stated that the bottom chatzah has to contribute together with the upper chatzah for an entire wall that's going to be 4 amis tall, starting from the floor of the upper chatzah? If l'chayru, all the owner of the bottom chatzah should have to contribute is only for a wall that's 4 amos high when measured from the floor of his chatzah, as from that point forward, he no longer could see into the upper chatzah, and he's not causing any hezekriya. And Taisus brings two terutzim, v'im rabbi in tam, that in a chenami, but our Gemara is talking about a specific case, k'goyin shechatzah tachton, inu namach ela itzel chaveri shel elyon, v'umitzad echad hu govoyer k'chatzah elyon, sh'yuch l'uri sham, and we mefarish that tachton mazik l'elyon, ki koy elyon, that in a chenami, the owner of the lower chatzah will be mazik the owner of the upper chatzah when the owner of the upper chatzah is standing. And clearly there's a major nafkamina between the two terutzim of Taisus, Ayin Sham. We explain our Gemara like it's mashbel from Rashi. Lefir of Huna, the owner of the lower chatzah is only responsible to contribute up to the amount that takes away his hezekriya, and that he can't see into the upper chatzah any longer. And as the Ritva states that the owner of the lower chatzah has to make yisoid milmato, Lodbia at Kineged Chotzel Yoina, the Gam Ulum Maat at Shish Nestalgri Osser Baamoy Babinsayim, and we pray Shain Shir Lazer, the Kokvi Rechavachatzeris, and everything is based on the width of the Chotzel, Lakachli Nasabai Shir, therefore we didn't give an exact share, and we Shom Veilach Oisa Oyin Levadai, and from that point upwards, the owner of the upper Chotzel has to make the wall by himself at Tashlam Adal Amos until he completes a wall that's 4 Amos high from the ground of his Chotzer. And the Gemara continues, Hanu betray Davidairi, Chad Avidairi Loi, Vichad Avidairi Titoi, that there were two brothers who split a house that the father left in Yerusha. And for example, Reuben took the upper story and Shimon took the lower story. And as the Bachas Geris, Itbat Titoi, that the lower story started sinking into the ground, the Rifas Geris, Ichbis, and the Rosh's Geris, Ifchas. Rashi states, Nitbu Aksol and Tachtoin Ba'aretz, Ashishaf Latikus Aliyah, that the walls of the entire house started sinking into the ground and settled into the ground until the point that the upper story already came down so much that the only way that Shimon was able to get into the first story was by bending down and crouching down in order to get into his house. And the Gemara tells us, so Shimon said to Reuven, since I can't get into my house in a comfortable manner, so let us demolish the house and let us rebuild the house together in order that I should be able to live in my house. And Amalei and Reuven said to Shimon, and now Shapi Kada Inner, and the Rabbeinu Gershom states, Kloima, I don't need to do so. I am living comfortably and my second story is still fine, and therefore I don't want to have to contribute and I don't want to have to rebuild the house. We continue on Davzayan Malav. So Amalei, so Shimon said to Reuven, Istri Anov Evne, or as the Bachas Gers, Evne Anov, I will rebuild the whole house and you don't have to pay for any of the expenses. Amar, so Reuven says to Shimon, Lesli Duchta Lamedeba, that during the time that you will knock down the house and rebuild the home, I won't have any place to live, and therefore I don't want to do so. So Amalei, so Shimon responded to Reuven, Ana Oigalecha Duchta, I will lease a place for you, and you won't be homeless, and I will take care of all your expenses. Amalei, so Reuven said to Shimon, Loi Turachna, I don't want to be Matriach, in order to go and move into another location. Amalei, so Shimon said to Reuven, Loi Kamistali, Lemaisa, I can't live in this house, and therefore you should be responsible to actually pay the expenses of the home in order to rebuild it. And Amalei, so Reuven said to Shimon, Shafa Kresech for oil, the Shafa Kresech Upok, that when you're coming in and out of your house, then all you have to do is bend down and you'll be able to get into your house and get out of your house, and therefore I'm not responsible to build the house. As Rashi says, Shacha Kaimoscha Ad Kresech, then bend over up until your stomach, and therefore you'll be able to get in and out of your house. And the reason why we speak about getting in and out of the house is because the doorway is lower than the ceiling of the house, and therefore he was referring to the doorway and not referring to the actual ceiling of the home. Taisa states, Lirinira Shaif Lashin Shifshuf Shemeschachach Ba'aretz, that you should crawl on the ground. They went and took the Shiloh to Rab Chama, and the Gemara tells us, Om Rab Chama Paskin Bedina Kam Akiv, Reuven, who is living on the second story, can be Ma'akev and doesn't have to pay Shimon and doesn't have to go through the trouble of letting Shimon rebuild the home. The Gemara qualifies this, V'hani Mili Dlei Mati Keshur L'mata Ma'asara, and this is only if the beams of the upper story did not yet go lower than 10 Tfachim, Abu Mati Keshur L'mata Ma'asara, but once the beams go into the area that's less than 10 Tfachim off the ground, then Motzi Omalei, then Shimon could say to Reuven, L'mata Ma'asara Rishusa Didihu, that any area that's less than 10 Tfachim off the ground is my Rishus, V'le Mishabel L'cha, and it's not Meshubet you, and therefore you have no right to be in my area, and therefore I have a right to knock down the house and rebuild the home. And we show you that in a case where there is a right for Shimon to rebuild the home, who is actually responsible for the actual expenses? And most we show say that we look at this house and the second story as a bias valia shenaflu, and the Gemara Maseches Bava Metzia and Daf Kuftesayin and Beis tells us that both shutvim have to split the expenses equally. However, the Ramban brings down two other pshatim, as one holds that all the expenses is mutal on the owner of the upper story, and one holds that all the expenses is mutal on the owner of the lower story, Ayin Sham. And the Gemara continues, V'hani milu d'lei asnu gabe adadi, and the only time that we said this din is only when Reuven and Shimon split up the assets of their father, that they did not make a t'nai. I will ask the gabe adadi, sasri ubani, however, if they made a t'nai when they were splitting up the Yerusha, then certainly we would have to follow the t'nai. Gemara yes, v'chi asnu bade adadi ad kamo, and when the brothers made a t'nai b'shas chaluka, then at one point could the lower story force the upper story to knock down the entire home and rebuild the home? As certainly you're not going to say that if the house settled by one tefach or one amma, then automatically the lower story has a right to go and knock down the home. The Gemara first states, Amr Rabbanan Kamedu Rava Mishmeidu Mazutra Breder Ab Nachmin Da'am Mishmeidu Ab Nachmin Ka'ezu Sheninu Roimu Kechetzi The shear is based on the Mishnah that we will have on Daf Sadeh Chesed Beis. It teaches us that if someone's mekabel to build a house for his friend, then if they didn't specify as to the height of the structure, then the din is that the builder has a requirement to make sure the height of the house is 50% of the total measurement of the length and width of the house. And for example, if the house is 10 by 20 amos, then you have a total of 30 amos, and therefore the height of the house has to be 15 amos high. Therefore, the Gemara wants to say that if you have two brothers that split up the Yerusha and they made a tnai, then once the house is lower than this shear, then the brother that owns the lower portion of this house would have a right to knock down the house and rebuild the entire structure. However, the Gemara states, Amalu Rava, when they told him over this member from a Nachman, so Rava said to them, Lava Minalahu, didn't I already tell you, Leititlu Be Bukri Striki Rav Nachman, that you shouldn't hang empty bottles on Rav Nachman. Rashi Mesechtes Avidizar says, Kadim Reikim Klema Dvarim She'inan Tam, that you shouldn't say such ridiculous things in the name of Nachman. Taz explains, Bukri Striki and Noshim Reikim, people that are empty, Mitagminan Guvrin Srikin. Rava states, Hachiam Rav Nachman, the Rav Nachman actually stated, Kedairi Inchi, the actual shear, when you'll be able to force someone to rebuild a home, is based on a shear where it's normal for someone to live in that type of structure. And the common, how much is that? Rav Huna, Brady Rav Yeshua, that the shear would be that if someone's carrying a bundle of long reeds, that he would be able to turn to all sides and be able to lift them up in the home as well. And that is the requirement for the height of the first floor. And if the ceiling of the first floor gets lower than that, then you would have a right to demolish and rebuild the home. Rashi explains when the Gemara stated, and we learned that the height of a house is half of the total of the length and the width of the house. That is actually learned from the binyan of the Hechel and the binyan of the second bias, which we know the length was 40 amos for Rachboy Esrim, and the width was 20 amos for Gavay Shloshim, and its height was 30 amos. And of course, the height and the width was 60 amos, and its height was 30 amos, which is exactly 50% of the total of the height and width. And certainly, the Gersin Rashi on Daf Gimel should be that the height of the second bias was 30 amos and not 100 amos. And the Gemara will continue with a similar psak from Rav Chama, and the Gemara will actually ask, Kainu Hach Vahasu Lomali. The Gemara brings a story, Ahu Gavar David Bonin Ashisa Achuri Kavid Chavri, that Reuven built a wall that was directly behind the windows of Shimon's wall. And Rabbeinu Geshem explained that Shimon already had a chazakah of 3 years, that he had these windows there, and therefore he had a right to keep these windows there. As the Mishnah Daf Chav Beis teaches us, that in this scenario, Reuven has to build his wall 4 amos away from Shimon's windows. The Gemara tells us, Amalei Ka'amathlis Elias, that Shimon said to Reuven, that you're causing my house to be dark, and therefore you have to move your wall and you can't build it. Amalei Sechanel Chachacha, Vavidel Chachavi Le'el Meshusai, I don't want to have to knock down my wall, and instead I'll close up these windows and I'll rebuild your windows at a higher point in your house that is above my wall. Amalei and Shimon responded to Reuven, Kamaris Le'el Meshusai, that by building new windows, you will have to chisel through my wall, and that will cause vibrations to the entire wall, and it will ruin my wall. On Malay, so once again, Reuven said to Shimon, I will actually knock down your wall until after the point of your windows, and then I'll rebuild the wall, and then I'll add your windows at a point that is higher than my wall. And Shimon still said that doesn't help me, as then the upper portion of my wall will be new, and the lower portion will be old. Rashi states, that the new cement will not take and will not attach well to the old cement, which previously dried, and therefore I don't want you to do that. I want you to knock down your wall. On Malays, so Reuven said to Shimon, I will knock down your entire wall, and then I'll rebuild a brand new wall for you, and therefore you won't have a problem, and it'll be even stronger than your current wall, and I'll make windows for you in this wall that will be higher than 4 amos above my wall. On Malay, and Shimon still says to Reuven, that if I only have one brand new wall and the rest of the walls of my house will still be old, then it will also not stand based on the same problem that we previously mentioned. On Malay, so Reuven said to Shimon, will agree to demolish your entire house and rebuild your house from scratch, and therefore you won't have any damage. On Malay, so Shimon still said to Reuven, I won't have a place to live while you're constructing my house. And on Malay, so Reuven said to Shimon, I'll rent for you a place, I'll lease you a new house. On Malay, finally, Shimon said to Reuven that I still would not want to move, as that will be a tircha. And on Rab Chama, once again, Rab Chama Paskin, Bedim Kama Akiv, that Shimon has a right to be Akiv, and he doesn't have to agree to let Reuven rebuild his home, and he could require Reuven to knock down his wall and rebuild his wall 4 amos away from his wall. And the Gemara continues and asks, why did the Gemara bring two different stories where Chum paskin the same din? As any chiddush that we could learn in the second story, we already know from the first story. And the Gemara answers, Hakam Ashbalan, the Afagav Le Mishtamish, El Tibnin Vitsivi Ba'alma, that's the second story is teaching us that even if Shimon's house is only a storage house and he's only storing straw and firewood, then even so, Shimon could say to Reuven that I don't want you to knock down to my house as it's techa for me to move my straw and to move my firewood. Certainly, the first story was talking about a scenario where one of the brothers was living in the bottom story and the first floor. However, in the second story, as Rashi says, and the chiddush is that Shimon could still say to Reuven that I don't want to be matriach myself in order to remove my wood and my teven. Rabbeinu Gershom states, that even though a storage house doesn't need that much light, but even so, Rav Chama paskins that you can't force him to relocate his straw and his wood. Ridvar points out that how does the Gemara know that the second story was dealing with a case where was a storage hut? And Ridvar states, either because they knew that that was what the story was talking about, or by the fact that the Gemara brings it as a second story and it must be teaching us this Chiddush. Ridvar also asks on both of these stories, then why didn't the Gemara state that there's a concept of Sayyidina Matanus Yechia? Why didn't the Gemara say that this could be Reuven's Taino? Ridvar explains the Hachal Leka Matana, as over here this is not even a Matana, Kivin Shubin Nech Vishusa Bishvulkain, as Reuven would have to leave his Rishus, and therefore it's not even the category of a Matana. Before we continue, let's point out that the Gemara previously stated, Bahani Mil Dler Asnu Gabe Hadadi, Ava Asnu Gabe Hadadi, Sasu Yubanu, and the Ramban is that if they made a Tnai, then Lecher is Pshita, and the Ramban explains, Ikalim Ema Mishun the Kabbalim Ema Law, Ki Asna Hadadi Ad Kama, that in a Chinami, the Chiddush is not that they can make a Tnai, but the Shail is, once you make a Tnai, at one point, could you force the other party to actually be Saisir of Bias and rebuild the house? And also, Ayin and Taisis, Diva Masal Hainuhach, where Taisis is, that Lecher is a Chiddush in the second story, as maybe the Chiddush is, that when you have a new wall that's connected to an old wall, that it won't stand. The Chiddush of the first story is, Vahani Mili Dle Matik Shu Lamatim Asara, of a Matik Shu Lamatim Asara, the Matzi Omele Lamatim Asara, Vishus Tidiu, Vole Mishabel Lecha. And Taisis says that in a Chinami, there may be a Chiddush in the first story, but the second story is not a Chiddush, as the Mils of the Pshitahi, the Chod the Chadta, the Kulatika Lekai, and Mishum Ha, Leav Tzarek Lasuya, Hai Oda, and because of this point alone, we wouldn't have to bring the second story. The Gemara continues, Hanem Beit Tri Achi, the Palgi Bahad Adadi, that are the two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, that were splitting the estate of their father, Chad Matya Splida, Reuven took the mansion, the Chad Matya Tabitza, and Shimon took the garden, which was in front of this mansion. As Rashi states, Asplida is Traklin Yafa, and Tabitza Gina Shebetzada Traklin, Shaisim Iwil Atoichai, by having a garden in front of the mansion, that actually added light to the mansion, and that certainly added to the beauty of this mansion, and to the value of the mansion. And Ayin Tesis, who brings from the Orach that the word Asplida is referring to a Ma'ora, and referring to a cave, Kedimitagim, as the Pasuk in Tehillim states, Mepleisha Obim Ma'ora, Basplida, and Tesis states that over here, certainly we can't explain it this way, as certainly we're talking about an area that was very light, and therefore Mepharash read, Asplida the Hacha, Havechsad Rishish Ba'ur Gdela, Sheputz Bruach Echad, that we're not talking about a mansion, but we're talking about some sort of a pergola or some sort of a structure that was completely open from one side. Gemara continues, Azalhu de Matya Tabitza v'Kabani Ashisa Pumadas Splida, that the brother that took the garden went and built a wall that was right next to the opening of the mansion or of this achsadra, and he was blocking the light. Amalei Kama Afasalai. So Reuven said to Shimon that you're blocking my light and you're darkening my splida. Amalei B'Dika Benina, that you have no right to tell me what to do as I'm building this wall in my rishus. And Rashi says, that since we just split up the estate of our father, therefore you don't have a chazaka to have light in your rishus, and therefore I have a right to build my kaisal even right next to your asplida. And I didn't taste the maschel omalei, but the dikabadina, we argue is under pshat of Rashi. And the Gemara continues, Om Rab Chama, that once again Rab Chama paskin, but didn't come alay, that Shimon, who owns the garden, has a right to tell Reuven that you have no chazaka, and therefore I have a right to build this wall. The Gemara continues, Amalei Ravina Ravashi. So Ravina said to Ravashi, Maishna Behadotanya, that why is it different than the following Brysa? The Brysa states, Shnei Achim Shechokoi, Echemen Notel Stay Kerem, the Echemen Notel Stay Lovin, that if the two brothers that split up an estate, and one of them takes a vineyard, and one of them takes a field of grain, Yeshle Labala Kerem, Dalan Amis, Bestate Lovin, Shamanas Kinkalkoi, that the brother who took the vineyard has a right to use 4 amois in the field of grain in order to be able to properly service his vineyard. That is a shear that takes for an animal to walk around the vineyard and to take care of the vineyard. And as Rashi states, Dalva Amos Lavidis Akarim Shaykhur Shaysa Bishvarim, and clearly we see from this brisa that when two brothers split up the estate, there are certain things that go along with the chalukah, even though it's not stated in Mefurish, as that is clearly part of the original deal. Amalei and Rav Ashi responded to Ravina that there is a chul between the brisa and the case of Rav Chama, as Hasam to Ola Dodi, as in the case of the brisa, we're talking about a scenario where the Bala Kerem must have paid an additional fee to the Bala Sada, and therefore it must have included the Dalal Amish Shal Machresha. The Gemara is, Aval Hacham Aid Loi Ola Dodi, is Rav Ashi responding, and in the case of Rav Chama, they didn't make a cheshbon with each other, and the brother that took the mansion didn't pay anything to the brother that took the garden, as certainly there's a difference in value, and therefore certainly Reuven must have paid a fee to Shimon, and if so, Reuven should have a right to light, and Shimon should not be able to block him. And as the Gemara states, V'chi b'shuftin eskinon, the high shokla splido, v'high shokla tabitza v'loi ola dodi, do you think we're dealing with fools, that one of them takes a mansion and one takes a garden, and they don't make a cheshbon as to the proper values of these items? And therefore, it must be that they made a proper valuation, and Reuven paid for these rights. And Amalei and Rav Ashi responds back to Ravina, Nehi de ola dodi, de me livni kshuri v'hudri, de me avir loi ola dodi, even though in a chanami they took into account the materials that Reuven got that were more than Shimon. However, they only took into account the value of the bricks as well as different types of beams. However, the value of the actual open ear and the actual light they didn't take into account, and Reuven never paid for this value and never paid Shimon. The Gemara continues, that Ravina Yisra Rav Ashi v'lei molei, let Reuven say to Shimon, may Karas plead the palgasli hashtamash v'lei aduna, that when we decided to split up the estate, then we decided that I'm going to get a mansion, and now that you're building this wall, then there's not a mansion any longer, and it's now an aduna. And as Rashi says, cheda ofel, it's a dark room, and the reason why I paid you extra value was because I was going to get a very light room, and I was getting a splida. The Gemara continues that instead of Rav Ashi responding to Ravina, Om Rav Shimi Ba'ashi, Rav Ashi's son Rav Shimi responded, Shema Ba'alma Pa'olugle, that this is not a valid taina, as Lemaisa, when they split up the estate, Shimon only said, I'm going to give you an esplida, and Lemaisa, this building is called an esplida. As Rashi states, Va'alva Pish in a Kishar esplida, and even though it's not like other esplidas, however, Le Batal Shmoi, it's still called an esplida, and therefore I gave you what you bargained for. And the Gemara states, Milay Tanya, didn't we learn a similar din in a Braisa? Ha'im a base ko'afa ni meichelcha, that if Reuven says to Shimon that I'm going to sell you a piece of property that you could plant a base kor, which is of course 30 saw, and we know a base of sayim is like the Chatzah Mishkan, which was 100 by 50 or 5,000 square amis. Therefore, a base kor is 75,000 square amis. So afal pisha in el lesach, and even if the field can only produce a lesach, which is 15 saw, and which is half of the amount, hegiu, that is considered a valid mecha, and it's not considered a mechachtois, shalei machaloi el shema, v'hud miskari base kor, as Reuven only sold Shimon the name, and this field was actually called a base kor, and therefore this is what they bargained for. Similarly, in the case, padi sani meichelacha, if Reuven says to Shimon, I'm going to sell you a field that produces pomegranates, apple pisha inberry minim, and even if the field doesn't have any pomegranate trees, higiu, that's still a valid sale, it's not a mechachtois, shalei machaloi el shema, v'hud miskari padis, and similarly, karamani meichelacha, if Reuven says to Shimon, I'm going to sell you a vineyard, apple pisha inberry gafanim, so even if there are no vines, higiu, the sale is valid, it's not a mechachtois, shalei machaloi el shema, v'hud miskari karma. The Gemara continues, the Ravina was still not satisfied, as midami is, how can you compare it to that brisa? Hasa matzi amalei meichel keach shmas vina lecha. Over there, certainly the seller could say to the buyer, I only sold you the name, and lemaisa it is called by the name, and it's called a base core, or it's called a paradise, or it's called a karam. But hachi matzi amalei, but over here, one brother could say to the other, I daita hachi pagi, did the inner bekech the dura avasan, that lemaisa, I actually split this estate with you, based on an understanding that I would actually receive whatever our father had, and since our father had a chazakah that he had a right to light, therefore I should still have a right to light, and you should not be able to pull up a wall that will darken my esplida. And we continue in Dav Zayinam Abayz, Armulei, my Yenuka Makashisha, Breder of Chisla Rav Ashi. So my Yenuka Makashisha, who the sons of Chisla, said to Rav Ashi, Nador Lutamayo, Rav Chama came from Nadoi, and therefore he's going Lishitasam of those that lived in Nadoi, referring to Rav Nachman as well as Shmuel. And Rashi states, Nadoi Lutamayo, Rav Chama, the Minadohu, the Lesfirlu, Hode Idubok, the Doria Vase, Ulshem Kachlaknu, Ozl Tamayo, the Nadoi, the Amishmuel, the Humanador, as Shmuel stated the following, and Shmuel also comes from Nadoi, and Rabbeinu Gershom states, states, Nadol Tamoy, the Rav Nachman Ushmuel, Rav Chama, Minadoi. And the Gemara explains, Rav Nachman Amishmuel, as Rav Nachman stated, Name Ishmuel, Ha'achin Shechalku, when brothers split up an estate, Einlan Loiderach Zalzeh, unless they bargained for this, then they would not have a right of way one to the other, V'loi Chalini Zalzeh, and they don't have rights to windows, V'loi Sulami Zalzeh, and they don't have a right to place their Sulam in an area, even though their father had that right, V'loi Amasamayim Zalzeh, and they don't have a right to get water from one area to the other, V'yizor ben shalachas kruasen, and should be nizor in these halachas, because these are set halachas, and we pass them this way. And clearly we see that the Nadoyans, Rav Nachman and Shmuel, both held that when brothers split up a Yerusha, they don't have every right that the father had. You have to specifically bargain for these rights, and otherwise you could actually stop the other one from using their chatzah, or from using their piece of property. And as Rashi states, Ha'achad shechalku v'notl zeh, sadal l'sofen v'zel adarim, v'yav rogalias lo'y likonis derech zu l'tech zu, and even though the father had a right away, and yachal lo'yma derech li'alecha, one brother cannot say to the other, I want to continue with this right away, v'lo'y chalonis la'ar el simus ayray, v'lo'y sulamis v'notl zeh bayis v'chatzah, v'zen notl aliyah, if Reuben got the house in a chatzah, and the other one received a second story, ein lo'y l'kvay sulam b'chatzir shel zeh, la'al sal yasay, and Shimon doesn't have a right to place a ladder in the chatzah of Reuben, unless he has permission from Reuven, and unless they bargain for this, and he doesn't have a right to build an irrigation canal to bring water from the Reuven side of the Sada to Shimon's side of the Sada, even though the father originally had that right. However, the Gemara continues, or as the Bachas Gurus, that they do have these rights, as each brother could tie into the other. When we split up the estate, our intent was that the inner be kehichadar avosan, and the Gemara mentioned Marinuku Makashisha, who were the children of Chista, and Taisa says, my Yunuku hu agadol, even though he was called the younger Mar, he was actually the older one, Bal Shem Shemnil Biankusha Shrav Chista, Karile Marinuka, and the reason why he was called Marinuka is because he was born when Rav Chista was younger, Umakashisha hu atzar, and Makashisha was the younger child, Menel Bikshusha Shrav Chista, and he was born when Rav Chista was older. However, Rashi Mesechta Tzubis on that Peites says exactly the opposite, and he says Rav Chista named his two children the same name, and therefore people called the older one Makashisha, and the younger child they called Mayanuka, and the only time that they actually started calling them these names was only if the second child was born, as at that point he had two children with the same name. And Rav Chama was from Nadoi, Sanhedrin, as when the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin actually goes through various titles that were given to people. So when the Gemara states Amroin Nadoi, it's referring to Rav Chama, Ushmuel Nami Nadoi, when we know Shmuel was from Nadoi, Kanam Shmuel, Naharn Lishvila Durikia, Kishvila Nadoi. And the Gemara continues, Who started Yasmi, the Nafik Le Tavra, that Reuven lent money to Shimon, and then while Reuven was alive, he went to Shimon and he asked him for his money back, and Shimon didn't bring out a Sheva and didn't show him that he had a receipt. And then Reuven died, and now his Yisayim Ktanim wanted to collect on the debt of their father, and they brought the Shtar to Shimon, and Shimon claimed that he already paid off the loan, and he brought out a Sheva and he brought a receipt to show that he paid the loan. And the Gemara tells us, Amr Rav Chama, that once again, there's a story where Rav Chama Paskin, and Rav Chama stated, that although we won't let the Yisayim of Reuven collect based on the Shtar, because Shimon has a receipt, however, we won't rip up the Shtar either, because potentially once the Yisayim get older, they'll be able to bring a raya that this receipt is actually a forgery, and they'll be able to show that Shimon still owes this money to their father. And the Gemara explains that you can't collect using the Shtar, the Nafik Tavrala, because Lemaisa Shimon has a receipt, but Mikra Lekarinle, the Chigad Liyasmi, Dilma Maisa Raya, as we explain, and the Gemara will explain that certainly Rav Chama would agree that when you have a receipt and it has Edim that sign on the receipt, that certainly the Yisrael would not be able to claim that they still owe this money. However, since in this case, Reuven was actually to obey Shimon for this money prior to Reuven dying, and Shimon did not bring out the receipt or claim that he had a receipt, therefore it is already a reis in this Sheva, and that's why Rav Chama did not rip up the Shtar of the Yisraelim. The Gemara continues, Amalei Rav Acha Breid Rav L'Ravina Hilchasamai, we just brought four dinim of Rav Chama, and what is the halacha in all these four cases? And Amalei and Ravina respond to Rav Acha Breid Rava, Bekul Hilchasak Rav Chama L'Bar Mitavra, and in all cases the halacha follows Rav Chama, except for the case of the Sheva, the Sadeh B'Shakri Le'Mechzakinon, that even though Shimon did not bring out the Sheva originally, but ultimately he does have a Sheva that was signed by witnesses, and certainly we have to give credence to witnesses, and therefore we will not say that the Sheva was a forgery. And the Gemara continues, Mazutra Breid Rav Mari Amar, Mazutra Breid Rav Mari states, that even this case, the halacha follows Rav Chama, and as we explained, because in this circumstance, there's circumstantial evidence that this shtar is actually actually forged, that if this shaver was actually a valid shaver, then the Shimon should have brought out the receipt while the father was alive and was ruling was Tavea Shimon, and by the fact that he didn't bring out the shaver at that point, or he didn't claim that he had received, therefore it's a raya that it must have been a forgery. And even if the Edom actually say that it looks like our signatures, however, it could be that the Edom don't remember and will have to be toilet that Shimon did such a good job on forging this document that the Edom don't even recognize that it's not their signatures. Before we continue, let's point out a few tises. At tises at the bottom of Daf Zayin Amud Aleph states, and we're referring to a case where the buyer knew that Shimon had a sada that was called a base kor, then loiking her auto, as if the buyer did not notice, then certainly the seller deferred him, and even if the buyer saw at the time of the sale that there was not a base kor in the sada, the buyer could still say that it's a mechach tais, as I thought that you're going to give me a sada that has a base kor, and you'll give this to me from another area. And Taisus has been time of a name of the Dovim Medium, that why don't we say that let us look at the value that he actually paid for the property and see if he paid the proper price for a base kor or for a lesach. And if the buyer actually paid for a base kor, then even if this field is called a base kor, then the seller should have to give him a full base kor. Ayin and Taisus, how he explains our Gemara. And let us see the third Taisus on Dav Zayin Beis, where Taisus states, in lem derech zel zeh, and he explains the machlekes between Shmuel and Rav, that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Kiva, that moicha ba'ayin yofa moicha, milafikach in lem derech zel zeh, shalei shay la'asme klum, kol echon chelot b'chelot chaveroi, b'havlei k'moicha, and each one of the brothers is considered like a moicha. Therefore he states, v'avl gav da minon ha'moicha ba'ayis b'shay ha'chotza, mocha lo ima derech, then in that case you do sell it with the path, lefidim an da'omad, moicha ba'ayin yofa moicha, you do sell it with the path and with the right of way. However, Taisa says, lo yidomi, that it's not similar to that case, the hacha kula moichrin, that over here, all of the brothers are concealed sellers, the chol echad macha, v'lo shay la'atme klum, b'chel kaveri, v'hav le kameicha chotza, v'shay ha'bayis, the tzorech likach lo yderech, mibala chotza, ayin in Taisa. And finally, we explain when the Gemara says, v'lo yislam, yizel zeh, it's referring to be able to place a sulam in order to get from the ground up into your aliyah. However, Taisa says, there would be no chiddush in that case, as that is the same case as lo yderech zel zeh, and there is no right to a right of way, and therefore Taisa explains the word v'lo yislam yizel zeh differently than Rashi, ayin sham. However, the Gemara does learn like Rashi, and he states, v'afagav the haktani v'lo yderech zel zeh, tavayu istrichu, the salkadai chamina, kibin esulam kavuhu, v'vadid le yistalik, v'lid the kadar avasai, one may have thought that b'negei a ladder, which is more permanent, then you could leave it there, and inami, the loy tema, that you shouldn't say, the kibin derech milsa da arayhu, that since a path is something which is less permanent, ve'inim mechasri kaka kolkach, and you're not taking away kaka from the brother, sheheloi derech, in order that you have a path, you might think you'd be able to keep the path. Mash one, that the brother doesn't have any rights, not to a path, and not to a sulam. We continue with the new Mishnah, kaifin eis libnes beis shav edelis l'chotza, that when there are members of a chotza, you could force every member to contribute to the cost of building a gate as well as a door for the chotza. And Rav Shimon Gamliel omer, leikal chatzer is ruyis l'beis shav. Rav Shimon Gamliel argues, it says, not every chotza is ruy for a beis shav, and therefore you can't always force the b'nei chotza to contribute to a beis shav. However, Rav Shimon Gamliel only states the zin b'negei a beis shav, but Rav Shimon Gamliel seems to agree that you could force the b'nei chotza to contribute for a delis. And Rashi explains the purpose of a beis shav, liyish shem ha'pesach yeshu shem b'tzeil, umachiks b'nei rishis rabim, l'hatsu b'chotza, that the b'nei chotza hired a guard, and he would sit in the beis shav in the shade, and his job was to make sure that the people in rishis rabim would not look into this chotza. And of course, the Gemara Daf Beis Amud Beis brought this as his third raya against the Manda Oma that has griya lav shmei hezek. And the Gemara explained that in a chanami between two chatzeres, there may not be hezek griya, but certainly hezek rabim shiny. In our Mishnah, we're talking about hezek over rabim, and certainly there is a problem of hezek griya, and therefore you could force all the bnei chatzah to contribute and pay their share for this guardhouse as well as for the door. And the Mishnah continues, kaifin eisa livnes le'ir chayma v'dolosayim ubriach, that you're able to force people in the city to pay their share for a wall, as well as for doors, as well as for a lock. Rav Shimon Gamliel omer loikal ha'yaris ruyus l'chayma, that not every city is ruyus for chayma, and the Gemara will explain the shita of Rav Shimon Gamliel in both of these cases. And the Mishnah continues, kam yehi be'er v'heka anshei er, and when someone moves into a city, how long does he have to be there in order to be considered a citizen, in order that we could force him to pay the tax in order to build a chayma d'l'sayim b'riach? And the Mishnah states the shir is yud beis chodesh, 12 months, and kadabba beis dira. However, if you already bought a house, then immediately becomes a citizen, and he would be responsible to pay a share for the chaymud, l'sayim, and briach. And the Gemara begins, l'meimu de beisham al yusiri, are you telling me that it's a good thing to have a beishar by a chatzah, v'ahu chassid adav rogel aliyo, adav mishtoi badai? There was a chassid that aliyo anavi would actually speak to often, and other beishar v'sula mishtoi badai, and then this chassid built a beishar for his chatzah, and aliyo no longer came to speak to him. And Rashi explains, l'fishim masik baniyim atzayikim ve'in kol nishma, as by building this beishar, then you're preventing aniyim from coming into the city, and aniyim will be screaming by the beishar, and no one will hear them. And the Gemara gives four answers, l'kasha, ham gavoy, ham avroy. There's a difference as to the placement of the beishar, as if the beishar is placed in the inside of the chatzah, then the beishar is blocking the aniyim, and there's also a delis that's on the outside of the beishar, and therefore the aniyim is prevented to get even close to the chatzah, and therefore no one will hear him. And as Rashi says, migavoy l'chatzah griusu, l'fisha delis l'chatzah nol, l'ani tzoyek u'beishar shebifnim, mafsik hakol, and there's multiple layers, and therefore there's no way that anyone will hear him. However, if the beishar is on the outside of the chatzah, and then there's a door that separates between the beishar and the chatzah, but there is no door that locks the beishar, and therefore the ani could walk into the beishar and get till the door of the chatzah, then people will hear him, and that is the type of beishar that our Mishnah is referring to. And the Gemara continues, but he's saying, I can explain, that both of these sharim were on the outside, and in the case of the chassid, he built the beishar, and he had an outside door as well, and therefore that blocked aniyim. However, our Mishnah is talking about a case where the beishar did not have a delis, and therefore the aniyim could walk through the beishar and get up to the delis of the chatzar, and people will hear them. And the Gemara continues with the third teretz, havahad islay delis. Both our Mishnah and the case of the chassid was referring to a beishar that had a door on the outside. And our Mishnah, we were talking about a case where it actually had a key and it was able to be opened. However, the chassid actually built a beishar that did not have a key, and there was no way for the ani to actually get through the beishar. And finally, both our Mishnah and the case of the chassid was talking about a case where there was a key and there was a doorknob. And the Mishnah is talking about a case where the key was on the outside and therefore the ani could get inside. However, the chassid built a door where the key and the ability to open the door was only from the inside, and therefore the aniyim could not get through the beishar. Gemara continues and quotes from our Mishnah, where we had a machlekes between Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the ability to force someone that lives in a chatzah to contribute for a beishar. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel stated, "Loy kol chatzir is ruis lebeishar." And the Gemara states, "Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel oimer, loy kol chatzir is ruis lebeishar. El chatzah smuch l'rishus rabim ruis lebeishar. If this chatzah is right next to rishus rabim, then it's ruis lebeishar. As certainly there would be hezekriya, v'she'en smuch l'rishus rabim, ain't ruis lebeishar. However, if the chatzah is not very close to rishus rabim, then it's not ruis for beishar. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would hold that you can't force the people of the chatzah to pay for a beishar." And the Gemara continues, Rabbanon, and if you're telling me that this chatzah is so far away from Rishus Rabim, so why would the Tanakam of Paskin, they able to force the Bnei Rishus Rabim to pay for the Beishar? And the Gemara explains, Zimna Daki Bnei Rishus Rabim, Va'ailu Va'asu, that there are times that the Rishus Rabim is very full, and therefore people spill over into the side streets, and that will cause Hezekriya, and therefore you could force the Bnei Chatzah to pay for a Beishar. And the Gemara continues and quotes from the next part of the Mishnah, Kaifed Eis Livnes Le'ir, Chayma Vidal Sayim Ubriach, Vabshimim Gamli Lo'ima, Lo'i Klaliyar, Is Lo'chayma. And once again, the Gemara brings a brisa to explain the shita of Rav Shimon Gamliel. Tanya, we learned to the brisa of Rav Shimon Gamliel, loy kol hayaris ruis l'chayma, el ir hasmucha l'sap ruis l'chayma, that if there's a city that's close to the border, then it's ruis l'chayma, and the people of the city want to be protected from neighboring armies. However, she'en hasmucha l'sap ain't ruis l'chayma. However, any city that's not close to the border is not ruis l'chayma, and you can't force them to pay for it. However, Rabbanon, what is the Tanakam hold? Zimn de mikru v'asigaisi, that in a chinami, even a city that's not close to the border could still force the Bnei Ir to pay for a wall and to pay for protection, as there is still a potential that invading armies will come and go all the way to the city, and they'll invade the city, and we will stop over here.